So we've been looking at this Gospel of John now. This is our fourth week looking at John. I can't believe it was that, and we've gone through so quickly already. And we've been looking so far at a poem which has been summarizing the work of God through Jesus. And today we see a little bit of a change. We now get into some more of the detail of this story. The poem has already introduced us to the person who we are thinking about today, John the Baptist. And in verses 6 to 9, which we were hearing about a couple of weeks ago, we hear a summary of John's testimony, John's job. John came, and it tells us that he was not the light. It tells us that he came to be a witness to the light. And it tells us that the reason why he's doing that is so that other people can be believing in that light, Jesus. So in today's passage, we see John being quizzed. Okay, it's almost as if he's in some kind of interview situation. Are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Are you a prophet? Who are you? And each time, he is saying the same thing. He is pointing away from himself. Not focusing on himself. He knew that he was a voice in the wilderness. Now, a voice is heard. It's not seen. And John was really clear that he had been sent to talk about Jesus. He didn't have anything to be saying about himself. And when he's actually forced to say who he is, he turns to scripture, Bible passages. It says, the words that I'm saying are from God. Even the way that he is speaking, the answers that he's giving, they're pointing towards Jesus too. Now, I'm not somebody who's fantastic at grammar, but I'm told that in the Greek, the phrase, I am not the Messiah, if I was saying this, I would say, I'm not the Messiah. But apparently the emphasis is on the I. I am not the Messiah. Even in that, he's pointing to someone else. Well, I'm not the Messiah, but... dot, dot, dot. And even more so, in verse 26 of our passage today, he said, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Did you notice? This is the bit that stuck in my mind over the last couple of weeks while I've been planning this. The one who stands among you, he's there. He is pointing directly to Jesus. And do they see him? No, they don't. So we have been thinking over the last few weeks about this message. Now, I don't know about you, but at Christmas time, I don't think it is possible to be neat and tidy. Do you have that thing where you, in your house, you've got this bit's going there and that bit's going there, and I can put those there, but only after I've seen those people, when I've passed those across. But then I'll have some presents for them and they'll go there. It's just chaos, isn't it? It's everywhere. And there are things that are getting in the way. Okay, so in here somewhere, on this chair, there's a message from God for us. But I can't see it at the moment. It's all kind of mixed up and in the way. So I'm going to need some people to come and open up some envelopes for me so that we can see what these things are that are getting in the way. So who'd like to come and open my first envelope? First come, first serve. Come on then, quick, quick. There's 9 in total, so be prepared. So in our first envelope, the picture's also going to come up on the screen, hopefully. First envelope, we're going to see... we're looking at our own expectations, the things that we bring. Do you want to open it up and show people the picture inside? The leaders who sent the people who are asked, questioning, they were doing it out of curiosity. They were doing it out of a wanting to be an intellectual debate going on. They're looking at their own fear, their own position. Okay, there we have it. Our expectations of Christmas. There we go. Christmas all boxed up. And we know what happens each year. We get it out of the box. And then we put it back in again after Christmas. Beautiful. But these spiritual leaders, they came with their own expectations. They were the ones who were in the position to spot the Messiah when he actually arrived. They were the fountains of learning. They studied these scriptures. They were the ones who should recognize the Messiah. But these intelligent men, first of all, they sent somebody else to go and ask the questions. But their learning was misplaced. They were just learning for learning's sake. They were getting stuff out of a box and putting it back in again. Their minds were closed to this divine light. I wonder whether we do the same kind of thing. Okay, it's lovely. We've heard all this before. Oh, look, it's John 1. It's lovely. It's about the Word, and it's about light, and it's about children of God. And oh, isn't it lovely? Oh, let's get the nativity out, shall we? Right, now let's move on. Put it away. Box it back in the loft. Second one. Who's going to open my second? Come on, then. Okay, the second thing we have. This is the I'm okay, thank you very much. We see the people who are questioning Jesus, the people who've sent them, that we see them in other places in the gospel, and they're people who are very proud, very self-serving, very self-justifying. Are you going to see this? This is the perfect Christmas. When you type in Google, that's what comes up first. Just so that you're aware of what's expected. But these people, they don't want to hear that things are not right. It was quite interesting when I Googled, I wanted a picture where you'd got the perfect Christmas and then the mess in the background, and I could not find one at all. Nobody wants to show the mess behind. They want to show this perfect image. And the people who were questioning were like that as well. They didn't want to repent. They didn't want to admit that there was something wrong. They didn't really want to believe. They came to John with these three options of who they thought that he could be. When they sent this committee, it was almost like they had a little checklist. Okay, time for the survey. Question one, are you the Messiah? No. Question two, prophet? No. Okay, no. Elijah? No. What are you? Voice? Voice. Thank you very much. Would you like to be entered into the prize draw? No, thank you. Off we go. They didn't want to hear any more. They didn't want to hear who John was speaking about. They just wanted to take an answer back and move on. So I wonder whether that's us too. We hear the message. We hear that apart from Jesus, everything is darkness. We hear that it is the dangers of ignoring Jesus. But we don't need to hear any more. I'm okay. I don't need all that repentance stuff because I'm fine. I don't need to be doing anything. I'm a nice person. I haven't killed anybody. I don't steal paper clips from work. I'm going to be fine. Just focus on the nice stuff, making Christmas all perfect. And then we'll move away. I don't need to worry about any of the rest. And then our third one. There was somebody else. Do you want to come to number three? Third reason why we might miss the message. Busy, busy, busy. The life that we live at the moment is just all over the place. John, when he's speaking this, is speaking in the wilderness. He's taking people away from that busyness of life. Place of silence, place of solitude. And it's not easy, is it? Because that's kind of what life is like at the moment. But we need to take time out to listen. There is this message. And in fact, once we've got to that stage, we've found the message. Here it is. But we're too busy to actually do anything about it. We need God to be shouting at us if we're actually going to be hearing it. We want God to be speaking loudly in thunder, earthquakes, trumpets, angels. We want something different, something new. the extraordinary to actually make that change. But very often, the message of God is a whisper, speaking through things that are familiar to us, speaking through a baby in a manger. And we may miss this message, because even though God is speaking, we think, oh, okay, I'll leave that to January when I've got more time. I'll pick that up another time. And then we never do. Because God is speaking today to each of us through his Son. We've been looking, as I say, at John's Gospel for 4 weeks now. God has been revealing himself. So what are the things that he might be saying to you? This is his overall message, but you can see the different facets. What is it that you need to be hearing from God today? And I've just got some ideas of what he might possibly be saying to you. So first of all, need another person? Come for it. Okay, first of all, we have heard that Jesus is fully God and fully human. I apologize for this one. I searched and searched and I couldn't quite find a decent one, but it's the best that I could do. John knew who Jesus was. He knew who he was, and he says it in our passage. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. So is God this Christmas wanting to show you an expanded vision of who Jesus is? Well, if we go through it, there we go. This is the expanded vision of who Jesus is. Okay. Next one. Who's going to open this one? We then see the light. Come to the next one. The light shining in the darkness. Do you want to come this side so we can start over here? We're told that the light shines in the darkness. So I wonder whether God, to this day, this Christmas, is trying to show you that no matter how dark things seem, his light is still there. His light is stronger than any darkness that we may encounter. Think of the sunrise. It doesn't matter how dark the night gets. As soon as that sun rises, it wins. The light shines through. There we go. And our next one. Want to come and do this one for me? No? Leah, do you want to come and do this one for me? Well, we don't want to. So with the next one we have, John is coming as a witness to this light. John, the witness, pointing towards Jesus. And we're also called to be witnesses as Christians. So if you are a Christian here today, you are called as well, the same as John, to be pointing towards Jesus. We are the ones who are communicating God's word to the world today. 1 Peter says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So I wonder whether God today is challenging you in this message, challenging you to think about the way that you are witnessing in your life to that light. We're getting there. Andy, you might have to help me out with this one. So then we see the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. And he made God's glory known. Jesus shows us God's glory. Is God calling you today to be reflecting on that glory, dwelling on Jesus, taking time to meditate on that glory of God, sitting by the manger this Christmas and looking at the baby who came to save everyone, dwelling on that glory? Or today, perhaps what we're actually looking for, I think we're running out of people. Okay, I'll go for this one. Today's passage, we see that John has been humbling himself, denying himself and confessing Christ. So when we come to Jesus. We have this choice. Am I going to be denying myself and confessing Christ? Because if we don't deny ourselves, then actually we're denying Christ. Is God challenging you with that today? Can you hold on to that one for me, Sarah? Thank you. And finally, the reason why John came. His purpose was so that other people would recognize Jesus and believe in him. The rest of the chapter that we are studying at the moment, we see this happening. The message that John is bringing, it's being heard by people. We see more and more people coming to follow Jesus from this word that they're hearing. Jesus, the one who made the world and sustains it. In him there is light and life and meaning. But without him there is darkness and death and confusion. So this Christmas, is this message that God is speaking to you? Is this the first time you're hearing this message? If that's the case, then I really do urge you to respond to him today. Don't leave it. Don't ignore it. Don't leave it until January to think about this. This is the most important thing that you can be doing. Can you commit today to be finding out more about this Jesus? Perhaps you feel that you're ready to make that step today. Speak to somebody after the service if that's the case. If you want to be receiving him, somebody will be helping you through, praying with you, helping you to receive Jesus. Perhaps speak to Mark about whether you would like to be baptized. Because by receiving him, you will become a child of God. Or perhaps you're not quite ready there. Perhaps you have these questions. And you too would like to spend some time thinking through those questions. A little bit later on, Peter's going to come and speak to us about Alpha. But I do encourage you today, if that's the message that God is giving to you this Christmas, then do act on that. Whatever it is today, whoever you are, whatever your experience of this message is, take some time over the next few days just to stop. Don't let the message of God be buried this Christmas in the busyness. Don't let that voice get lost in all the noise. Remember that the one who all this busyness is about is the one whose sandals we're not even worthy to untie, but the one who has made it possible that all who receive, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the message that you are giving to your people. We pray that whatever that message is for us today, whatever part we need to be hearing, that we would be open to hearing that voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.